Good morning, my podcast listeners. Thank you for joining me today on In Search of God's Instructions. This podcast is mostly focusing on a conspiracy among the nations that involve God's people. This conspiracy is found in the book of Psalms. However, before we get started, let's have a prayer. Father God, I thank you for being with me through these last few weeks of trials. I thank you for your mercies and for your grace, for opening my eyes and revealing to me all that you would have me to know regarding the situation that your people are facing today with Sunday Sabbath law and Noahide laws. It was very unclear for me to see it before, but now it is very clear, and I pray that you will open the ears, the hearts, the minds, the understanding for all of those who are listening to this podcast today, all of those who are seeking your guidance and seeking clarity on understanding how the things that are being passed today through our laws are relevant to our lives today. Be with us, lead us, guide us, and teach us along the way. These things I ask and pray for in the name of Yehoshua, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Before I begin this podcast, I want to say that in no way is this podcast intended to encourage or support anti-Catholicism or anti-Semitism or anything against the leaders of the Zionist movement in Israel and the Pope's agenda at the Vatican. In no way is this podcast meant to condone hatred or bigotry in any way against any religious group of people or their religious preferences. This podcast is based on information that has been gathered through the Bible, historical documents, and through my own experiences that I will share with you as my own personal testimony. First, I'm going to start this podcast off with giving you a bit of my personal testimony. I'm going to try to be as quick as I can about it for the sake of time, although I'm sure that this podcast is going to be a little longer than my usual 30 to 45 minutes. So bear with me and hang in there. Some years ago, God directed me to start attending the synagogue for worshiping Him. I was living in Colorado Springs at the time, and I hesitated about it because from everything that I had heard about Judaism, they did not accept Yehoshua as the Messiah. But nevertheless, God instructed me to do this, and we all know when God instructs us to do something, if we don't do it, we usually always have a regret for not doing it. I'm going to tell you what my experience was. And then after I tell you what my experience was, when we come to the end of this podcast, hopefully you'll be able to see by then the relevance of attending the various synagogues that I attended under God's instructions to me. I started out with a Messianic synagogue. From the Messianic synagogue, I went to Conservative synagogue. From there, I visited ultra-Orthodox synagogues. And from there, I visited Reform synagogues. Out of all four of these synagogue places that I visited through the years and spent much time with, because I was truly there with my heart to worship God, I was observant, being a person who had never visited synagogues before, and I had questions. However, my being there allowed me to have firsthand experience of how things work within Judaism. Through the Messianic synagogues, I found the rabbi's teaching from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. And to make a long story short, they taught based on the truth of God and the truth of Messiah. And with each experience at the different synagogues I went to, I could tell from the way these rabbis taught that they truly had a deep-rooted love for God and for Yeshua, our Messiah. In the conservative synagogues, I observed that the rabbis taught from Torah, and They read from Torah and they taught from Talmud. And this is how it was also with the Reform Synagogue. So the Reform Synagogue and the Conservative Synagogues, they were basically on the same level as far as their processes for their services went. And the ultra-Orthodox synagogues that I attended, they had a lot of rules. One being, they could not begin Torah service until there was 10 men, which in tradition is considered a minyan. And once the minyan appeared, then they could proceed with providing Torah service. They read from Torah. Well, they opened the Torah scroll and they read the modern Hebrew from Torah. But then all of them read from the modern Hebrew from Torah. In any case, with the ultra-Orthodox, they also taught from Talmud. So basically, after the Torah readings, everything that was spoken about afterwards were based on the rabbi's teachings of what is written in Talmud. Talmud is what was developed by the Pharisees way before Yehoshua's days, and they are the teachings of men. My experience with the ultra-Orthodox synagogues was quite keep a distance kind of attitude. It was like, you're welcome, but why are you here? Immediately, I picked up on a sense of separation when it came to the congregants in the Orthodox congregations. The Messianic and the Conservative and the Reform congregants, they were very welcoming, very friendly, very open, very willing to teach you things that you may have questions about, very hospitable. After some time, some years, going to these various synagogues and worshiping God, the day came when I received a phone call from one of the database companies that I had been doing my research through, and they were contacting me about my subscription. And I told them that I had decided to cancel the subscription, to not renew it, because I wasn't finding any records on my ancestors who were of the African slave trade. I hung the phone up and I was frustrated about it. And I prayed out to God and I said, God, you know, this is so frustrating because of the fact that as African ancestors in this country, as African descendants, we have no public easy access to the records of our ancestors who were brought to this country in chains on slave ships. It's as though we just appeared out of nowhere and we have no roots at all. They know of these roots, but for whatever reason, they're being very secretive about them and they're keeping them hidden. And for the life of me, I just don't understand it. And at the same time, I also vented my frustrations about attending the various synagogues that I had been attending for years that I had attended them, because I came to realize the only one that my soul was getting fed in was through the Messianic teachings. All the others were nice, they were polite, they were friendly, but for the most part, they didn't feed my soul when it came to my hunger and thirst for the knowledge of God. I said to him, Father, you're the one who sent me to these synagogues. I realize that there's a reason for me to be going, but when my soul isn't getting fed from attending these places, I have to come home and I have to find a way to nourish my soul for myself. If I'm here because I'm Jewish, I'm asking that you please reveal it to me. If I am of the tribes of Jacob, I'm asking you, Father, to also reveal which tribe I'm from. I went to bed later that night and woke up around 2 o'clock in the morning. I opened my eyes and there above the door frame of my bedroom door was what appeared to be an ancient torch hanging off the wall with a low flame light of fire that was burning, and it was reflecting a picture next to it that I could see from the flame of light coming from the torch. And I thought at first, well, maybe I'm dreaming and I close my eyes. I could feel myself moving in the bed. I opened my eyes again, and there it was in the same place. The torch with a low flicker of fire light reflecting over what appeared to be an image of, it was a picture. I couldn't tell from that distance what the picture was. I didn't have my glasses on. I looked perpendicular to the next wall because I knew there was nothing on that wall. The grouping of the image moved from one wall to the wall that was perpendicular to my bedroom door. I went back and looked at the wall above the bedroom door, and it moved over there again. I got up and I walked over to where the door was. I looked at it very closely, this time with my glasses on, and surely it was exactly what I saw. It was clear to see from a distance that I was in the bed. I could clearly see the torch, but it was hard to tell what was on the picture. When I got to the door and I looked up, I looked at the picture, and it was the picture. It was a lion. First, it was standing on all four legs, a full body of a lion, and then it went from a body of a lion to the face of a lion, back to the body of a lion, back to the face of a lion. I put my hands on the door knob to turn it. As I put my hands on the door, the entire image went away. I thought, wow, what was that? What was that all about? Because I was, you know, I didn't expect to wake up to see that. This was clearly a vision. I had never seen a vision before. God had never shown me a vision before. I've had many dreams. He's spoken to me quite a lot. But I had never seen an actual vision. I've had dreams where my dreams have turned into reality, but never before a vision. I wasn't in shock. However, it was just something very special to experience, because the vision that I had was clearly an ancient time frame. The torch was ancient, the flame. It was like I was taken back in time to a period of time long before electricity. I had never seen an actual vision before. I didn't expect to see that. And so what happened when I said, wow, what was that all about? My spirit spoke softly to me and reminded me, you did ask God if you were of the tribe of Jacob and what tribe you were from. And I said, oh, that would mean that a lion, that's the tribe of Judah. That's the tribe that the Messiah came through. My ancestors were from the tribe of Judah. I'm from the tribe of Judah. It took me a very long time to digest what God had just revealed to me. In any case, what I came to realize here is, if my ancestors are from the tribe of Judah and they were brought here on the slave ships, chances are millions of other ancestors who came here on the slave ships were also of the tribe of Judah. Could that be the secret to why these slave manifests are being held from our access to be able to trace our lineage? It didn't make a lot of sense, because to me, what was done is done. Slavery is over. However, the truth of the matter is, the descendants of our ancestors, we today, are still in bondage. We're in financial bondage. We're in economic bondage. We're in spiritual bondage. You name it, there's a political system and a financial system that seems to keep us in bondage. Few people get through. It's true. Some people get through. But are the people getting through actually of the tribes of Israel, period? Because if they're not, that would indicate that God's people are completely still in bondage, even though the physical chains have been removed. Now we have a different system of chains on us. And as I thought about that, I prayed about it over the years. I continued going to the synagogue, and fortunately, God blessed me to be in a place where I could attend the Messianic congregations on a very frequent basis. But now God has revealed something else to me, and that is the conspiracy that has taken place, or started taking place, long before our generation was planted into our mother's wombs. Now God has revealed it to me. Psalm 83 reads, "Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still. O God, for behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their heads. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, 'Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel will be remembered no more.' For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gabal, Ammon, Amalek, Philistia, and the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria has also joined them, and they have helped the children of Lot. Deal with them as Midian and Sisera and Jabin at the brook Kishon, who perished at Endor and became refuse on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yes, all their princesses like Zeba and Zalunna, who said, 'Let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession.' Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, as the fire burns the woods, as the flames set the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know you, whose name alone is the Lord, the Most High over all the earth." This psalm is telling Judah and Israel, God was aware of the plot by many of these Gentile nations on the earth to steal the heritage of his people Judah and Israel and take the land of Israel for themselves and divide it amongst themselves. And until they are able to obtain that goal, the descendants of Judah and Israel, and even those who are not descendants of Judah and Israel, of the Gentile nations, even those who want to truly worship the true living God and have accepted Yehoshua as their Messiah, they will plot to destroy us off the face of the earth. How did this happen? We're going to look at the initial part of what took place in the book of Ezra. The descendants of the people who corrupted the Levitical priesthood still exist today. The big revelation is that the writings of Talmud is being used by the Pharisees in Israel to control the people who they have deemed are non-Jews under Noahide laws. Keep in mind, the Noahide laws only apply to non-Jews, and the non-Jews are categorized to being non-Jews based on the Pharisees' opinion. In conjunction with that, we have the person sitting in the position of the Pope at the Vatican who is pushing Sunday Sabbath laws. When you take these two agendas and place them together, it moves us back to the beginning of the conspiracy, because it shows us that the ultimate conspiracy began thousands of years ago. And today, what is happening with Sunday Sabbath law and Noahide laws are for the purpose of fulfilling the conspiracy. I'm praying that God will open your eyes and he will open your understanding and your ears in order to help you see the full picture of what is going on spiritually in our world, because at the end, it's going to require all of us to make a choice. When you take this psalm and you study it, we see that a conspiracy of nations got together and decided to steal the land of Israel and steal the identity of the people of Israel and Judah, and cut off the tribes of Jacob to no more be a nation. That is what has been happening for thousands of years. We, as the descendants of Judah today and the tribes of Israel, are today suffering the consequences of this conspiracy. Well, the consequences is in two parts. Part one was the fact that our ancestors turned against God. They started idol worshiping. And because of this, God first drove the northern tribes into captivity because of idol worship. Then, a little more than 700 years later, he drove the southern kingdom into captivity because of idol worship. So the question is, how did idol worship come in through the priesthood? Because if the priests were doing their jobs and teaching the people, and God was sending prophets to teach the people after Moses was no longer with them, how is it that the priesthood became so corrupt that our ancestors started worshiping idols because they were believing the teachings of the priests? And this is what drove our ancestors into captivity and brought on the curses of God on our ancestors and even on us, because the curses is a generational thing. It didn't just end with our ancestors who were driven into captivity at the end of their lives. It passed on to their children and their children and their children's children for generations. And this is why we today, as the people of Judah, and I'm speaking from the people of Judah because this has become my revelation of who my ancestors are. These curses are clinging to us today, only in a different form. In the sense that, yes, now we are allowed to finally read and write. However, if we are in the public school systems, our children are not being taught to think when it comes to reading and writing and counting. They're not taught to take applied knowledge and apply it to their lives. We're going to look at what took place with the priesthood. And we see it first in the book of Ezra. Judah went into captivity the first time under King Nebuchadnezzar. The priests that went into captivity with them became involved with Babylonian worship and the priests of Babylon. And we see that in the book of Ezra, where King Cyrus gave the decree for the Judeans who was in the land to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Chapter 2, verse 61, we read here, of the sons of the priests, the sons of Habiah, the sons of Hakos, the sons of Barzillai, who had married a daughter of Barzillai and taken his name. These searched for their genealogy records, but they could not be found. So they were disqualified from the priesthood. The sum of the entire community was 42,360, not counting male and female servants and 200 male and female singers, which brought a sum total of 49,897 individuals. So when we go back and we take a look at these men who claim to be priests, okay, there was obviously a Levitical priest who had the last name of Barzillai. Okay, he claimed to be Levitical priest. He married the daughter of a Levitical priest and took on the name of his father-in-law. So these three priests who were married obviously had taken on names in the Levitical priesthood of Levite priests. And they were having children by the daughters of these Levite priests. 42,360 men in the Levitical priesthood who were all in Babylon at that time. Then we see in Nehemiah chapter 13 where he calls out to God and asks God to remember him to his credit because he cleansed the temple of God of the pagan idols that the priest had brought in. If you read the entire chapter of Nehemiah, you will see that what made him suspicious was that he started noticing that the priests in the temple, many of them could not speak the Judean language, which was Hebrew. And he discovered that people who couldn't speak the language had intermarried with Levite priests' daughters and was having children by them. That's when Nehemiah realized that the Levitical priesthood had become corrupt. Nehemiah said, "Thus I cleansed them of everything pagan. I also assigned duties to the priests and the Levites to work each at his own task by shifts, for the wood offering to be brought in at fixed times and for the first fruits. Oh my God, remember it to my credit." When Nehemiah discovered these false priests, he knew that they had corrupted the priesthood as well as violated the covenant that God had with the priests. Since these men could not speak the Hebrew, this means they could not read the Torah scrolls, because the original Torah scrolls is written in the original Hebrew language. The Hebrew language we have today is the modern language, and it was developed by the very people who are now the Pharisees. They went in there and they added little vowel sounds and this and that and the other, and all kinds of things they have done for them to be able to interpret for the modern people. But when you read the preface, the Hebrew to English translation of the JPS Tanakh, you see in the preface that they developed this Bible that was translated from a different Torah scroll because they said that the original Torah scroll could not be understood. So the Talmud is really the writings of memory from ancient people long ago who were not Levite priests, and from more recent rabbis who are expanding on the writings of the ancients from long ago. That is why when you read the Talmud, you will find that it directly contradicts what is written in the words of God, in the Torah that God gave to Moses and Aaron. The priests who corrupted the priesthood said that God gave them an oral Torah, and that's why they had to write it down, because God gave it to them orally, while at the same time, God was giving Moses on the top of Mount Sinai the actual Torah that was being written down. So what do we know about anything that somebody passes on orally? And especially if it's being passed on orally from century to century to century, it becomes corrupted. It is never in its original form. And in this particular case, it wasn't in the original form in the first place because it never came from the Torah scrolls. So this is how we have the priesthood originally being infiltrated. Then we see that God himself condemned the Pharisees. And we see this in the book of Isaiah, where God is talking through Isaiah. He's given Isaiah the revelation in chapter 28, verses 11 through 14. "So that all prophecy has been to you like the words of a sealed document. If it is handed to one who can read, he will say, 'I can't read it because it's sealed.' He can't read it. It is sealed to him because the Hebrew language, keep in mind, written by God and given to Moses, had a lot of mystery in it. And God took the time to explain to Moses so that he could teach the people what it meant. For instance, to people today who do not keep the seventh day Sabbath, when they read the commandments and they see God says, 'Remember the seventh day to keep it holy,' and he goes on and says, 6 days shall thou labor,' yada, 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 'but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God.' When people who are not in a relationship with God see those words, they look at the seventh day as just being another day. It just happens to be the seventh day of the week. They don't see the mystery behind the words, the importance and the spiritual connection with God in the words. They don't see it. And because they don't see it, they fail to recognize the importance of it. To them, it's just another day. And that is what Isaiah is saying here. If it is handed to one who can read, he will say, I can't read it because it is sealed. The mystery of it is sealed to him. He cannot understand the interpretation of what is being said. He cannot interpret what is being said. And then Isaiah says, and if the document is handed to one who cannot read, saying, read this please, he will say, I am illiterate. I can't read. Meaning that he cannot read the Hebrew language that it is written in. He can't even read it. Not only can he not read it, he can't speak it. And this is a travesty because it is this thing that happened when it came to the priests infiltrating the Levitical priesthood that caused Talmud to get elevated above the Torah, above the Word of God. And to this day, remember I said I go to these different synagogues? Only the Messianic synagogue read from the Torah scroll and all of the other books in the Bible, even down to the book of Revelation, and taught the Messiah and accept the Messiah. So if your heart is changed and you can see clearly through the words of God, the mystery that God has allowed to be revealed to you because of your love for him and your desire to worship him the way he wants to be worshiped, God says when we seek him with all our heart, our minds, and our soul, he will reveal himself to us. But he will not reveal himself to us if we don't seek him for the purpose of loving him and getting to know him. And that is what was going on with these rabbis who, or these Pharisees who infiltrated the Levitical priesthood. They caused the true Levites to go astray and start idol worshiping, and they themselves came in with idol worship. And now what we have today, the Talmud being used to regulate morality of all people on the face of the earth who are non-Jews. The Messiah also condemned the Pharisees for their teachings of the Talmud. We see it in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 1 through 12. And we see the entire chapter 23 of the book of Matthew, where the Messiah, they frequently had their conversations going back and forth about what is written in Talmud, which is the traditions of men, and their traditions because they are being taught from memory. They don't understand it. And we know how memory goes, especially as you get older. In the book of Matthew 15, 1 through 12, it reads, the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Yeshua saying, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Yeshua answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God? Because of your traditions. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift from God. Then he indeed do not honor his mother or his father. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well said Isaiah when he prophesied about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And that is exactly what God said through Isaiah when they were teaching Talmud. Because he said, back in Isaiah 28 again, therefore the Lord said, insomuch as this people approach me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have kept their hearts far from me, and their worship of me has been the commandment of men, taught by rote. Rote is repetition from memory without attention to meaning. Truly, God says, I shall further baffle this people with bafflement upon bafflement, and the wisdom of his wise shall fail, and the prudent of his prudent shall vanish. So Talmud is clearly what is written by men to teach the people about God, whom the writers don't know. They don't know God, and the Pharisees don't know. They're not worshiping God because they're not keeping God's instructions. They are worshiping idols, even to this day. And in the end, when we look at chapter 23, the Messiah called the Pharisees vipers. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measures of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of serpents, how can you escape the condemnation of hell?" So do you think it has changed today? The answer is, obviously it hasn't changed today, because now these people have gone to all the nations on the face of the earth and gotten their agreement with holding a standard of morality of laws to non-Jews, to include the United States government. They've all signed off. These people themselves don't even, they don't even keep Noahide laws. They don't keep Noahide laws. That's why the Noahide laws are only for the, quote, non-Jews. And they themselves are, quote, non-Jew. But they will not admit it. But thanks to God, we see it all right here. He has revealed it. If only we take the time to search out the scriptures, God will reveal to us everything that He wants us to know when it comes to these scriptures. And I find it amazing. I really find it amazing. I never thought going to these synagogues was going to give me understanding of what we're going through today. It never really occurred to me. What occurred to me was that I'm going to worship God with all my heart, my mind, my soul. And I don't care if they don't accept me. I don't care if they don't like it. I'm here because I know the God that is written in my Bible, and He is true, and He has moved in my life, not just one time, but thousands of times. And that to me is amazing. And when I know the character of the God that I worship, I look at these people who are holding a standard of morality to all non-Jews of the world, when they themselves, they're just like what Messiah said. They're serpents. That's like me telling somebody else, "You're not to lie. You can't lie about anything." And then I turn around and I go and I lie about everything. You know, it's that do as I say, but not as I do. That's really what it comes down to. And keep in mind here, when it comes to Sunday Sabbath, that the Pope's agenda is pushing, they are working together. Because number one, the Pharisees in Israel does not, Pharisees anywhere, period, if they are of the Pharisees sect, and they are, if they call themselves ultra-Orthodox Zionists, because that's the name they're using today, they, number one, do not accept Yeshua as the Messiah. And this is evident because of the fact that they have established Noahide laws and they are trying to build the third temple. They recently, in October, had a sacrifice of the lamb in order to usher in the ability for them to build the third temple. But guess who had to sacrifice the lamb? A Noahide person, somebody who is a non-Jew. Does that make any sense? According to the instructions of God, it totally contradicts everything according to the instructions of God. How can somebody who is not of the tribe of Levi sacrifice a lamb to a holy God when they themselves don't even know God? But that's why they won't sacrifice this lamb either. That's why the Pharisees won't sacrifice the lamb. They'll tell you anything that you want to hear that you think sounds and makes a lot of sense. Because if you're not studying the word, you will be deceived. You will be drawn into their deceptions because you will think that they know everything that they're teaching you. Well, if anybody should know, they should know. Well, That is true if they are a people of God. But if they're not a people of God, then what are they? They are deceivers. And that is how a lot of people are being deceived today. Leave your faith in Yeshua as Messiah. Come to us, deny the Messiah, and we will put you on the right path to where you need to go. Be careful, people. Please be careful. Start studying for yourself so that when you hear a lie, you will know it is a lie. Or when you hear something about the God that you're worshiping, and you for yourself know his character, you will know that what they are saying about your God is a lie. You should understand and know why you worship God. As I said before, the preface to the JPS Tanakh clearly gives you information in there that the Pharisees could not read and understand the Hebrew Torah scroll. So they developed oral Torah, which is written down as Talmud. God said that all these things was going to happen because he has developed a timeline. And we can see his timeline is coming into full fulfillment because, number one, he's opening the eyes of his people who are scattered throughout the world. And he has told us through his word that the city of Jerusalem was going to be trampled by Gentiles for a time period. And that's where we are today. What is happening in Jerusalem? Those who are trying to build the third temple, who have gone to the nations to say, let us be the ones to police morality for you through the Noahide laws. Let us be the one to take care of our one world religion for you through the Sunday Sabbath laws. All of these things is happening, but God is in control of all of it. It is a part of biblical prophecy. And we, his people, who are the remnants of the tribes of Jacob, our responsibility is to turn our focus on God and do as God says we are to do. That is, start studying his word, repent of our sins, ask him to forgive us, and ask him to forgive the sins of our ancestors. That's what God wants from us. Because he said when we do these things, he will hear us, he will heal us, and he will be the one to bring us out of captivity. Because let's face it, people, the way things have developed in this world with this conspiracy under the guidance of Satan, they want us to never, ever, ever turn back to God, and they want us to never, ever, ever accept Yeshua as our Messiah and sacrificial lamb. This is a spiritual battle we are fighting. We don't have the ability within ourselves to break our chains, to take these curses off of us, and to find some corner in the world we can live in at peace. We don't have that ability to do that. We don't have it. I don't care how much money in the world you may have, you don't have the ability to do that. If you are a child of God, if you belong to his kingdom, you are of the tribes of Israel and of Judah. That means we need him to fulfill his promise to us. So it's a dual thing that's going on here. We need to fulfill our promise to him, and he in turn will fulfill his promise to us once we start obeying him. Because after all, God is the one with all the power. We are puppets on a string. And I'd rather be on the strings of God than to be on the strings of the Pharisees and the Pope. The last desolation of Jerusalem that took place in 70 CE, since that time of Roman Emperor Constantine and building the church in Jerusalem, Jerusalem have been getting trampled by the Gentiles. So the people in Jerusalem, Israel today, are of Ashkenaz descent. They are from the descendant of Japheth, who was the youngest son of Noah. You can find this written in the book of Jasher. amazingly, it's been removed from the New King James Version of the Bible that I have today. That's something else you should be aware of. Your Bibles are subtly being changed. Messiah is dropping off the pages of them, and lineage, as far as history goes, is being replaced. And one way you can see it is that if you take the book of Jasher and you compare the lineage of the descendants of Noah to the lineage of the descendants of Noah in New King James Version, it's different. What matters, though, is that God has preserved enough for us to be able to see the full picture that he is bringing to us in this day. Think about the fact that God is revealing these things to us because God wants us out of captivity. He wants us to turn back to him. He wants to fulfill his promise to us, and he will fulfill it. The thing is he doesn't want to see any of us perish by turning away from him. Because at the end of the day, you're either going to be with God or you're not going to be with God. To not be with God is an eternity in torment. And you can go through some of my other podcasts that speaks on this topic. But either we're going to be with God when we leave this world or leave these bodies, or we're not going to be with him. There is no more straddling the fence, and there are no third choices. There's either choice one, be with God, or choice two, not be with God. And the punishment is the same for everyone. Those who are with God receive one punishment, and those who are not with God receive another punishment. This also you can find in my previous podcasts. In any case, the people who are trampling Jerusalem today are the Gentiles. They are of the Ashkenazi bloodline. That's what they claim to be, of the Ashkenazi bloodline. And when you trace the lineage of Ashkenazi, it goes back to Japheth. The lineage of Yeshua, who's of the tribe of Judah, goes back to Jacob, who God gave his promise to through Isaac. And that's what we need to keep in mind. If you want history on how the people in Jerusalem today, how the Ashkenazi that the world recognized as being the people of God today, how they ended up in Israel, that's a part of history through world war and economics. You read about the Balfour Declaration. You read about what took place with Germany. You read about the United Nations coming together to declare that land to belong to a Jewish nation. And lo and behold, Ashkenazi descendants stepped up and said, we are the true Jews. Maybe people have been reading their Bible and disagree with it, but their voices aren't strong enough to be heard because we live in a system that is run by Satan's minion in this world. But what's important about it is that God is aware of it. God knows who his people are. The good thing about it, from my point of view, is that I already know the end of the story. They will not accomplish their desire of trying to steal the land of Israel from God Almighty. And they will not accomplish their desire to cut Israel off from being a nation. God has spoken it. So this is what he said. In chapter 44, Ezekiel chapter 44, 5 through 16, it reads, and the Lord said to me, son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all its laws. Mark well who may enter the house and who go out from the sanctuary. Now say to the rebellious to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, O house of Israel, let us have no more of all your abominations. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary to defile it, my house, and when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, then they broke my covenant because of your abominations. You have not kept charge over my holy things, but you set others to keep charge of my sanctuary for you. Thus says the Lord God, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. And the Levites who went far from me, when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house, and ministers in the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to the people, because they ministered to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore, I have raised my hand in an oath against them, says the Lord, that they shall bear their iniquity. They shall not come near me to minister to me as priest, nor come near any of my holy things, nor into the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Nevertheless, I will make them keep charge of the temple for all its work and for all that has to be done in it. But the priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept my charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. We see God has abandoned the Levites for being priests before him. They can be priests in the house for the people and be gatekeepers for the city. But beyond that, they don't get to be in the presence of God, nor do they get to have any control or any charge over God's holy things. And as we continue to read through the book of Ezekiel, when you have time, you will also see that God himself is going to build the holy city of Jerusalem. And there will be no temple in it because Yeshua and God will be the temples. The Messiah and God will be the temple. There's not going to be a temple built by anybody, and let alone by the hands of man. What these Gentiles over in Jerusalem are doing with trampling the city of God and determined that they're going to bring back animal sacrifice and also they're going to build a third temple, it is all being done in a deceptive manner to have a reason to start executing the true people of God, which means that to know that you're of the tribe of Judah and to know that you're of one of the tribes of Israel is very powerful, but it definitely puts a mark on us. It puts a mark on us because Satan has collected these two groups to fulfill his agenda. And part of his agenda is attacking the people of God. He's not going after people who are not considered people of God. He's going after those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua, have accepted that Messiah is the sacrificial lamb of the world, because Satan wants to be worshipped. He does not want us worshiping God. He does not want us worshiping Yeshua. He doesn't. And so in order to fulfill that agenda, he has to develop a process for finding who these people are. God knows who we are. Mankind has to search for us. And Satan has developed these tools to help them find us. That is why they have come up with Sunday Sabbath law and the Noahide. Because under Noahide, if you accept Yeshua as the Messiah, it is a crime that is punishable by beheading. If you pray to anybody other than who they consider God, and they will tell you the name that you can use, it is a crime punishable by beheading. And they have developed a universal Sabbath for non-Jews, because according to Talmud, if you are Jews who they consider Ashkenazi descent, then you can keep the Sabbath. But if you are a non-Jew, you are not allowed to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. That is why they have developed a universal Sabbath. If you try keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, it is a crime that is punishable by death, by beheading. So that's how we know that these people who call themselves Zionists and ultra-Orthodox, who I call really Pharisees, are not of God. God does not contradict himself. He is not going to destroy his people for worshiping him. If you call yourself a Christian and you try keeping the seventh-day Sabbath, you will be turned over to the Sanhedrin in Israel, who will accuse you of a crime that is punishable by beheading because you are a non-Jew proclaiming to keep the seventh-day Sabbath, which they say is defiling. Non-Jews are defiling the seventh-day Sabbath by keeping it. I'm going to leave you with God's promise, his instructed words to us, because God wants us to be a part of his kingdom. But whether we're born of Judah or not, if we are not doing what God says to do, we're not going to make it into his kingdom. The thing for us to focus on as being of the tribes of Jacob, whether it's Judah, whether it's Reuben, whether it's Naphtali, Gad, whichever, if God reveals to you that you are one of these, you are descendants of one of these tribes, we are held even more to a higher standard of being holy, doing his instructions, because our ancestors went under covenant with him. And that's what we as a people, God is requiring us to do in these last days. He's requiring us to fulfill our covenant to him. And our covenant is teaching the word of God and doing the word of God. Because when we start being obedient to doing what he commands us to do, he is going to bring us out of captivity. In the book of Zechariah, God tells us, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I shall be their God in truth and in righteousness." And in Joel chapter 2, 32, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, he tells us, "And it shall come to pass, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they may drink. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Philistia? Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me, swiftly and speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your own head, because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my prized possessions. Also, the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem you have sold to the Greeks, that you may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will raise them out of the place which you have sold them, and return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken." So we see this, that God will fight our battles for us. All we need to do is go back, take a look at the book of Deuteronomy. I suggest we read the entire book of Deuteronomy to get a full understanding of the curses and a full understanding of the blessings that God has promised to place on us as long as we are being obedient to his commandments. God has made promises to us if we want to be out of captivity and out of this nation, we need to turn our focus to God. In the meantime, may God be with you as you go in search of His Word and study and learn about this conspiracy that was developed among the nations as a result of our ancestors going into captivity, and what God requires of us for Him to do His promise and bring us out of captivity. Because He will bring a remnant out of captivity. He has promised that. But who's a part of that remnant is going to be up to us each individually. We're either going to choose to be with Him or choose not to be with Him. And the choice at the end of the day is fully yours. In the meantime, may God be with you and bless you and guide you along the way as you search out His instructions.